Thanks for listening to this Word in Your Ear podcast. If you'd like to get early access to all our productions ad-free, priority booking for our live events, and to take part in our weekly quiz, go to patreon.com/wordinyourear for more details.
The Word is a proud media partner of Latitude Festival 2012. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to www.latitudefestival.co.uk.
You're listening to a podcast from The Word.
Being eaten with a knife and fork, or something to that effect.
Yeah, it says you are what you eat, and it's a pig eating some bacon.
Right.
I have a few food-related ones. I have one that says, tasty salted pig parts.
Oh, yeah, I like that one.
Which is from a butcher in San Francisco, but I wore into a Islamic country recently and had to remove in the toilets before I went through immigration, just to be on the safe side.
Nobody told you to do this.
No, I was just being careful.
But you also do, am I right, in thinking you own a T-shirt saying, meat is murder, tasty murder.
I'm guilty of that one too.
So that's three meat-based T-shirts. Right?
He's probably got
there may be more. There may be more
section of his wardrobe. So anyway, the John Peel record collection, which has been this week given to the nation, I think, from his estate, and has now started to appear on the internet. Have we seen this, Fraser? Have you had a look at this?
I have, yeah.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
It's interesting. I wouldn't go so far as to say I liked it.
Is it because you don't think it works on the app as much as on the internet?
It's a web thing, but I don't like it. I think it's an incredible database of music, and I would like to see it displayed as a database. I'd like to be able to search it. Instead, it's this. They sort of manually recreate the experience of browsing through shelves by clicking and
let's explain what they appear to have done. You tell me if I've got this right or wrong. They've started off. The business of trying to digitize or put into a database all however many hundred thousand of them there are would take absolutely years. And so instead, they've said, okay, we're going to take the first 100 A's. And we present them on a sort of record rack on
this
site. Just the spines. And you can kind of go along and click, and it'll tell you what the records are. And then they're going to take the first 100 Bs, the first 100 Cs, and so forth. And I have to say, I was having a look at it last night, and I rather liked it, actually. Because I like the kind of bizarre serendipitousness of it. You know, you just went along. And I think Stuart McKenney had written a piece about this in the Times today, actually, which I thought was quite interesting. It says, it's not really a collection, it's an accumulation. Mm. You know, these are the tools of his trade. You know, I suppose it's something that I touched upon when I wrote that thing about record collections about a year ago.
And it is random what you fall upon, because the spines are too small for you to actually see what you're looking
at. It's difficult
when
to pinpoint them. This is another thing I don't like about it.
You have to put your finger on it, and then you probably get the one sort of three spines down from the one that you meant.
I can see what you mean. But I'm sure there's always ways that the interface could be better. But what I like is the idea that he had, you know, the A's, obviously, but he has two albums by ABC. He has the
He's got an ABBA album, which surprises me.
He's got one ABBA album.
Voulez-vous.
Yeah. So he hasn't sort of thought about it and thought, well, I ought to have a greatest hits, or, you know. Mm. He just ends up with one ABBA album. He's got the Abrasive Wheels record, When the Punks Go Marching In. He's got, oddly enough, got three David Ackles records. And so it struck me, it's less interesting for the detail, and more for it's almost like reading somebody's palm, you know what I mean? That you get an impression of a personality.
Is as interesting.
Well, he probably didn't even choose to leave it out. You know what I mean? It's just what you end up with. You know, could somebody go into your records and look at them and go, I'm going to give you a sketch of the kind of the personality and the inclinations of the individual that these records attach themselves to? Do you think there's anything in that?
Possibly, yeah. You wouldn't be able to do it so accurately with me, or actually, if you did, you'd only get the last year of my life, because I hadn't had any vinyl before then.
Right,
you just started buying vinyl over again.
After getting rid of it all.
Yeah. What this communicates to me very clearly is that John Peel's almost desperate over-inclination towards the underdog.
Yes, you know, the obscure.
Absolutely. I'm going to have an ABBA album, but only one.
Well, the one I lighted upon now was Act One by Act One. Yes. What is this? Well, can you please somebody?
He probably just didn't have the heart to throw it away or something. Probably, or he might have played it occasionally.
It was
I don't know.
Given to him down in reception by some young group.
And it was always, yes.
But you say that, but what it looks like to me, and these are photographs of the actual shells themselves, is that they look like they've been used. That's not 100 mint condition albums crammed into a shelf.
No.
Look at the top of them. They're all well played, which is staggering considering the size of his overall collection.
I suppose so.
Do you think it's been carefully curated to look well played? Do you think they've taken a
they've
selection
them.
Of battered vinyls?
I thought it was really interesting that he's, I think he's got three records by David Ackles, you know, kind of minor electro singer-songwriter. And I bet you anything that when you get to T, he hasn't got three albums by James Taylor.
No.
Because he'd probably have thought, oh, somebody else is taking care of loving James Taylor. My job is to
represent the underclass.
Absolutely. You know, I thought it was really interesting. And I just thought it was worth mentioning on the podcast as being one end of the spectrum where you might find music. Mm. And the other end is the new Spotify iPad app, which I was having a look at yesterday. And Spotify seems to have... This is now the real problem about sampling music.
Mm.
That you used to go into places called shops. And, you know, big old megastores. And Baldwin Oyer years ago wrote a piece about megastores saying that they all have a slope that leads in from the street.
Yeah.
So that you kind of totter in. They have a huge, great opening.
They didn't have a massive mouth.
They never had a small door. They had an absolutely vast mouth, which kind of narrowed to a kind of cave at the back of the place. You know,
escalators going down into the bowels of the mysterious
It's really interesting. They're like sort of modern tube stations like this, aren't they?
Casinos.
Yes, casinos. Very, very similar. You kind of had to physically resist to avoid being drawn in. And that kind of worked as a way of encountering music. That you walked in there, and there was piled up at the door all the kind of new stuff, all the stuff that was in the charts.
It's almost like you leave time at the door when you go as well. You hand in all your mobile phone and your watch and stuff like that.
Yeah. And then you've slowly found your way to the odd bit of the soundtrack section, or the strange metal subcategory that you wanted to find. And that sort of worked. Whereas now what you have in things like Spotify is a tiny door onto the street behind which is everything. And therefore, how would you ever find everything? Mm. How's there any way of accessing everything? Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And I suppose the same thing applies with iTunes. It applies with Amazon. You know, you've got more and more stuff you could have. And less hints as to what you might like.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that?
Well, the one that we've just... what's the one that you were looking up the other day that we've just done a piece on the
Pandemonium Records.
No, not
Pandemonium.
Or
Tomahawk.
Tomahawk, yeah, which actually... That's great because it's like a little bit like Last FM type thing. So it will play you a selection of what it thinks you will like. And that appeals to me because it means I'm not having to buy what it thinks I will like, because that always irritates me. You know? You like... You like some glam rock band, so you're necessarily going to like King Charles and his new record or something, which is just not going to happen. But if something's actually on in the background, playing, you know, allowing a selection of its music wash over that it thinks may appeal to you, I think I'm more likely to get turned on to stuff, as they say.
Yeah.
If it's not being sort of forcibly suggested that I would like it, if it's just playing in the background, so that's quite a good idea, but.
Do you ever find yourself directed by any of these?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very analogue in this respect, even though I'm a digital editor here. The way I buy records is I'm on the mailing list of seven or eight different shops that specialise in vinyl.
Strange stuff, basically.
Strange stuff, yeah. Every Friday, some emails will drop into my letterbox saying, this is new, and a little bit of a description, and I'll go, that sounds interesting, and I'll buy it. And I won't try and hear it first.
Yes,
even though
there was a debate about this on the site this week, wasn't there?
I want to have the experience of it arriving, having forgotten that I've ordered it in the first place. So it's like a Christmas present when it arrives.
And
I don't know what's
in the box.
Having
heard a snippet of it.
I haven't heard a snippet of it. So I'll open it up and I'll play it, and I'll either love it or hate it, or I'll give it a few more spins. And
if you really hate it, what do you do with the record?
I don't really hate anything at all.
No, he doesn't. You see, Fraser, he's... I'm sure I'm not the first person who said this. you're a pretty unusual person when it comes to your interaction with music.
I think my mother was the first.
No, I don't say that in a derogatory way at all, but you sort of... You don't get bothered by things you don't need to get bothered by, do you? Mm. You know, whereas it was this correspondence actually started on the website. I can't remember who started it this week.
Woodface, I believe.
Woodface. There you go. Fraser even remembers the name of the people who post these things. And said, I've ordered the Alabama Shakes record, and I can't remember which other
Django
one.
Django.
Django Django. These are both, you know, much kind of... Well, I think the expression he used was hyped.
Much hyped.
Mm.
Records. And I'm really Buzz worried fans. I won't like them, and that I might have been duped. And so there then ensued an interesting conversation about, you know, why should you bother?
Had you already ordered it then?
I think he'd ordered it or something. And, you know, where does the hype come from nowadays? Mm. You know, it doesn't come from some evil, cackling dictator sitting in some record company headquarters thinking he's going to foist things on people, you know.
Hype is reflected in the number of YouTube listeners.
Yeah.
And that's all real people.
It's real people, so it's not hype.
Right.
And it's based on one track that gets, this, you know, flying around the offices of the world. Have a look at this. They're interesting. They sound like the real thing, in inverted commas, and then that'll be your...
And that's the way it starts, certainly.
But it can only get a certain flying speed if people genuinely like it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because if not, it gets stuck at 20,000,
wouldn't
it? Well,
if it's stuck, people aren't sharing it, which gives it the big numbers.
Yeah. And I suppose that the point I was making with Woodface is, why do you feel that you have to like things? Which is the thing I find myself having this conversation with people all the time. People say to me at parties, what should I be listening to?
Yeah.
You shouldn't be listening
so
to anything
want,
at all.
You want your opinion to tally with the hype that the world has. Is that generally what people
I
feel?
I get that impression from people.
Yeah.
You know, that they feel that it's important to keep in with whatever... And this particularly applies in music. It seems to apply more in music than it does in films or books or anything
like that. I do like that attitude more than people who are determined to hate everything that everyone else likes, which is 50% of the population.
That's true, yeah.
I hope I'm not as extreme as that. But, you know.
You're heading in that direction.
I like to be the contrarian. You know.
I thought of the people that said, you know, that immediately after video games, that everyone has sort of exhausted Lana Del Rey's video games, all the people who then decided that she was a online.
Yeah, oh, well, that's a different thing.
She had a real name.
Well, I suppose that's a slightly different trend, isn't it? That's when you get 70% of the available people liking something.
Yeah.
So the other 30% form themselves into an opposition.
A real opposition, yeah.
That's what happens, you know. It's like I've always had that theory about what happens with magazines. You know, they can't get to a certain level of popularity, they only go down.
Yeah.
Because you can't increase beyond that level because you'll get the contrary opinion will be stronger than the positive opinion. It just will happen.
Haven't you ever found with that it's hard for you sometimes to embark on a band that you know that you ought to like because you know they're very, very good and they have a massive back catalogue of stuff that you've never scratched the surface of? Like, for me, it would be the Smiths. I know that what I've heard by the Smiths I like, but I'm never going to go out and buy the definitive box set of the Smiths and sit and listen to it because I know the opinion I'm supposed to have about it. And I find it almost intimidating to think, oh, God, I've got to get to know this group and then make the same point that everyone else has made for the last 30
years. That's a really interesting point, isn't it? I mean, why do you think there's an opinion about it that you've got to have?
I don't know.
That it's the same opinion as anybody else?
I guess it's detecting, because I know that what I know of them I like, and therefore I want to have the opinion that people have that they are an amazing band. So it's sort of, it's not like, I mean, I don't like Bowie's stuff very much at all. So I'll hear Bowie and I'll think, I'm never going to get into this because I'm not attracted to being in that world that's going to discuss why he's the greatest person that ever lived. But with someone like the Smiths, I know that I probably could really get into it. It's just too intimidating. I think I'd rather listen to this obscure violin record from 1922 because...
So you're sort of taking the John Peel attitude, aren't you?
Well, sometimes it's the easier one as well. No, okay. Or you can go the other way and you can be, you know, you can feel like this amazing record came through the other day by a band called Flying Colours, which are, they're a kind of supergroup made of session men from the 90s. And it's this, isn't it amazing, Fraser? You bought it on vinyl straight away.
I have
away.
Already, yeah.
You see, you're both weird. Go on, explain this.
Like
I've heard this in the office.
Oh, it's...
This is like a satire on a 70s prog group.
It's a kind
it?
Of roller coaster ride through...
There's a bit of prog, there's a bit of AOR, there's a bit of proper hard rock in there, but it's... It's funny because it's a lot like the kind of stuff I was listening to when I was 17 and 18 and find very difficult to listen to now. But there's something a bit more embarrassing, a bit more 80s about that stuff than this album feels to me.
But it's done with massive affection as well. You get the sense that they don't realise that it sounds dated. Like, even though the cover art is dated, the font on the back looks like something from about 1987 or something. But they're brilliant musicians. And for me it feels like it's a kind of a real space to walk around in, that record, because you know that it's not really going to be talked about, and that it's really brilliantly played. So you can kind of feel it's your own little world.
So it's a greenfield site.
It's also done with a real sense of humour, I think.
Yeah.
Which a lot of the bands who they sound like they're copying a bit didn't probably have.
Right. Going back to the Smiths and David Bowie for a moment, because it's interesting cases. The Bowie is an interesting case, particularly in the Word office, because I take against David Bowie, as do you, Kate, as do you, Fraser, largely because Jonathan Sellers and Mike 70
That's
Johnson
probably what
in
it
the
is.
Office... Just worship him. Well, if you think, well, you're taking care of that, I can afford to take the contrary
the
point of view.
The representation is there already.
That's fine.
Yeah.
If you look at the last FM Word magazine, the most played artist, David Bowie is right at the top by a considerable margin.
Yeah, fine.
Nothing to do with me.
Now, if you take the Smiths, another case, I've always had the feeling about the Smiths that they, and I suppose this applies to nearly all acts, that the hardcore of the Smiths' faithful, where the flame of affection burns brightest, is amongst people who were born at a certain point and got into music at a certain point.
Mm.
And to them, there will never be anything greater than that. It's like, I think you probably say the same thing about me and Mark and the Beatles.
Mm.
And what to me is interesting is when somebody comes along like you, who hasn't grown up with them, and your point of view on them ought to be different from the point of view of the people who had grown up with them.
Yeah.
Because that actually tells you a lot about them as music.
Yes.
Not just as, they've always been important to me. They, you know, they bring back the time when I was 17 or all those other feelings which cloud your judgment so much.
But actually what I have instead is the weight of this unimpeachable group on my shoulders. When am I going to sit down and actually... It's like watching The Wire. When am I going to watch The Wire from the beginning to the end?
It's a big commitment.
It's a huge commitment. I have to lose the use of my legs.
You don't have to. You know, what you see, I'm not a Smith fan, but I can have three or four interesting things, forgive me, to say about the Smiths' two or three records.
Mm.
And I don't care that if somebody says to me, well, you've got to listen to all the albums. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You can listen to as little or as much as you want. It doesn't devalue your judgment or your emotional responses to that music.
I think also it's very hard to have an emotional response to something that everyone else has one to. If you feel a massed army of people are in love with a band or a particular artist, I find it hard to be in love with them myself, because I feel that the love that is there is being split up between so many thousands of people. And, you know, what are you going to get of it? You're standing right at the back of the stage.
This is not snobbery, then, Kate.
No. It's much more of a sort of innate reaction to it for some reason. Something that is not well-loved, I find it easier to feel affection for, because I feel I'm closer to the source, if you get what I mean,
without
all these fans in between that are already saying, I love this person much more than you do. You'll never get anywhere near this sort of...
So Smiths, for me, have been one of those bands that have always been there, and I owned Smiths records in the past and don't anymore. And I kind of like them, and I know that if I sat down with Smiths records, I would probably love them. I genuinely believe that. But I kind of think I don't have to.
Yes, that's it.
No, I do like them.
No, but now hang on a second. I'm making a distinction here. There's liking things, and then there's wanting to like things. And sometimes you approach music thinking, I want to like this. I feel in the mood to like this at the moment. I feel there's something emotionally within me that could be met by this music. And sometimes it meets it, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yes.
You know, it's like, I keep coming, you know, my theory is that, you know, music should be a thing that happens to you.
Mm,
as soon as you go looking for it, it's like love.
Yeah, it is.
You go looking for it, it's not there. You know, it'll arrive, and all you've got to hope is you're receptive at the point that it arrives.
Yeah.
But being the people we are, and this particularly applies to blokes, and this is something that Stuart McCandy has again touched on in his piece in the Times today. Blokes feel that they ought to like things sometimes. people to sign up to things, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And sometimes their feeling about oughtness is stronger than their affection for the thing that they actually hear.
Stronger than a natural attraction.
A natural attraction,
yeah.
You know?
Well, it's like the old thing, isn't it, of sort of... you're hearing a song on the radio and not making a decision on whether you like it until you found out who it's by. There is a bit of that, and I've never personally had that. I've always had the opposite. So,
well, because that's because you're a lady.
Because I'm a lady. but yeah, I mean,
it is a bloke thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find it so odd though that you've got to put it through a little filter of critical.
But you see, blokes' attitudes to rock, terrible sweeping generalisation, very much like blokes' attitudes to football. If they're interested in football, which is, if their team do it, it's fine. If anybody else does it, it's not. Because their loyalty to their team is stronger than their appreciation of football.
And then with cult acts, in quotes, it works exactly the same way, because you're not you're not the only person that's following sort of Lewis Taylor or somebody. You know there's an army out there that's following Lewis Taylor, so you're attaching yourself to another mass of people who are following an unknown artist, the same way that you might attach yourself to the Smiths or something. So actually you're still looking for your kind in the underdog world as well.
Yeah. Blokes like to feel that the things they like, and not just better, that they're of a morally higher order than other things. They like to think that the acts they like have a purity of motive that doesn't apply to the acts that they don't like. Which, of course, is nonsense.
I like the opposite. I like the acts that I know to be really anal and meticulous and mean and money-grabbing, but make nice music.
You have been listening to the free feed of the Word podcast. The full album-length version is only available to subscribers to the magazine. To sign up and to hear the rest of this podcast, go to www.wordpodcast.co.uk.